Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber here, sitting solo. BT's out for another couple days. Samter put up a poll, which will tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about for the next couple of minutes here or so. The Toronto Raptors on the verge right now of winning their first ever NBA championship, up 3-2. Game six is tomorrow out at Oracle, which will be the last game ever at Oracle. There'll be some motion out there, you can imagine, before they head down to San Francisco next year. In Toronto, the Jurassic Park, I'm sure. Did they open the arena for the games as well, or is it just out the outside? I can't remember if they do the inside or outside, because sometimes you see colleges do that. Yeah, Oracle opens inside, right? But sometimes you see colleges do that. They'll open up their arenas, whatever, 12, 15,000 people. And if the team is away, they'll watch it in the arena. I know Toronto does this Jurassic Park, which if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network, is outside. I mean, they're awesome. Whether it's rain, weather conditions, blazing hot, they're always out there. Well, now it's not in the postseason. It's going to be nighttime, so it's not going to be blazing hot. But they're there outside. Those fans are going to be crazy watching this from afar. And for their sake, hope that happens, because it comes back to Game 7 back at Scotiabank. I think it's going to be a little bit of pressure on the Raptors. But that brings us to the conversation that Sabrina, with a Z, not a Z, a Z, told us yesterday, or at least dropped in yesterday, that if Kawhi Leonard wins or helps this Toronto Raptors team win the NBA championship, he'll go down as the best Raptor ever. And I kind of had to try to think about this real quickly on the fly because it was at the end of our show yesterday. And I don't know if I agree. Now, there's a few options. And again, this is very subjective. So if you have an opinion on this and you're a Toronto Raptors fan, give me a call. Let me know. 855-212-4227. There's a couple of options that jump right to the top of your head. Some of this I did solely on win share, right? The value of games that you won above, you know, what they would have won if you weren't there. It's kind of like war in baseball, but it's different in basketball. The leaders for the last few years had been Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry, because of his the postseason failures against the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James, in most people's minds, won't rise to the top of that list. Now, if he comes and has an epic winning shot or whatever it may be, say he scores 30 points in game six and he's the reason that they beat the Golden State Warriors, they win a championship, maybe recency bias will put him at the top of the list. But Kyle Lowry is there, but he's not at the top. I think the other options are Chris Bosh, who made 3 all-star teams when he was there. And Chris Bosh was the man, rebounding, maven, dominated the boards when he was there, obviously. But I think the problem with Chris Bosh, and this is, I'm laying out the problems with all of these guys, the problem with Chris Bosh is that Chris Bosh is mostly known for being one of the big three with the Miami Heat when they went and formed that super team. So if you're a Toronto Raptors fan, do you love Chris Bosh, or do you kind of think of him as a traitor? You left us to go play in Miami at the beginning of the super team era. It's probably the latter. And then you get to Vince Carter, who easily would be the best player in most people's minds in franchise history for the Toronto Raptors if he hadn't begged his way out of there and wanted to leave. And D'Sell brought up a great point. I didn't even think about this until you said it yesterday, that when they had the greats, but then quotes, the greats come back, Vince Carter wasn't included because a lot of people still don't like him because he has to be out of there. But if it was just purely on accomplishments while in uniform, it would be Vince Carter. But we all know it's so much more than just what you accomplish in a uniform. It's what you mean emotionally to a team. So maybe I'm selling Kyle Lowry short then, because even though he's come up short in postseasons until this year, his loyalty and dedication to the Toronto Raptors is beyond reproach, right? He's been there for the long haul, despite the frustrations. Not that they're building around him, but he has been a catalyst. But if you're talking about emotional connection and this emotional uplift, and again, I'm not a Toronto Raptors fan, didn't follow them, you know, in their early years in the mid-90s. First year was 1995. Damon Stoudemire was their first draft pick. I didn't follow them that closely. I was still in college and then ultimately playing in the NFL. So the non-championship teams weren't in my radar really as a sports fan. So I don't know this from an emotional standpoint, but I got to believe watching what Kawhi Leonard has done this year, which for a lot of it was probably confounding, right? You're like, what's Kawhi doing here? You know he's only going to be here for a year, at least is what you're thinking in a regular season. He's only going to be here for a year. He's got minute restrictions. Why? He takes maintenance days. He doesn't want to play back-to-backs when they're on the road. What? This is our guy? And then all of a sudden, you get to the postseason, and Kawhi turns into a beast. Well, he turns into actually who he is. He is a beast. He's a defensive shutdown defender. We saw this in the previous series with the 76ers. You see it along the way. Kawhi Leonard has the ability to shut somebody out. And you couple that with the fact that when he gets hot, like he did in the fourth quarter of game 5, where he just takes it over, he knocked down 3-pointers, hit the mid-range, he assists. Kawhi Leonard lifts you as a team. And if you're a Raptors fan, he lifts you emotionally. So I ask you the question then. If you're a Raptors fan and Kawhi Leonard brings you a championship, let's say he bounces. Let's say he's here for a year and then says, out, I'm out, I'm see ya. Is he the greatest Raptor ever? Because there's no championship for the Raptors. And if they win one and Kawhi's the reason that they won that one, does that automatically put him at the top of the list? And again, this is an emotional reaction. It's not this isn't a logical one. This is an emotional one. Because logic, you're gonna say Vince Carter, even if you hate him. But an emotional one, it's especially in the short term, I think Sabrina might have been right. That Kawhi Leonard, who mainly because he's the anti-star, right? He's not that bombastic, annoying superstar. So he's a guy that you want to like, right? You root for him and you feel his intensity. Even though he did say a couple days ago, I'm not winning this for the fans, which is like, dude, say everything else you just said. Don't say you're not winning it for the fans. Of course you're winning it for the fans. You want to win for yourself and, you know, raise your profile and legacy or whatever the heck you want to call it, but it's also for the fans. Fans are the reason that the game exists. But if you're a fan, Toronto Raptors fan, Kawhi Leonard wins his championship, is he the best Raptor ever? 855-212-4227. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. Because he's unique. He will have done something unique. Now, the history of the Raptors is short. It's only since 1995. So it's not like you're going back to the 60s to talk about this. There's 30, 40, 50 plus years of invisible history for the Raptors because they didn't exist. So it's kind of an easy conversation to have. It's an emotional one because everyone who's listening right now has seen the entire history of the Toronto Raptors. It's not like you can go back and say, oh, yeah, the history of the Celtics, I didn't see them play because I wasn't even born. I mean, my mom wasn't even born. But the history of the Raptors, we've all seen it. Is Kawhi, if they win, the best Raptor of all time? 855-212-4227. Let's get Keith, who's out in Tucson. Keith, what do you think?
Hey, guys, well, let me sum it up this way. Let's put a different perspective on. Let's go baseball. Look what's going on with David Ortiz, Big Poppy.
Yeah.
Boston loves him because of what he brought to the Red Sox. He's not the greatest Red Sox of all time.
That's a good
point. He's the most loved Red Sox of all time, I believe. But, you know, it's the same thing. And I think if Kawhi brings something to Toronto that they've never had, and he's doing it in a classy way. He doesn't talk trash. He doesn't belittle other players. He doesn't belittle other teams. He just goes about his business and doing what he's supposed to do, and the fans love him.
Yeah.
He is going to be the best Raptor of all time until maybe in the future. We don't know. But as of this point, I love Vince Carter. As you said, I'm from Tucson, Arizona, and my boy Stoudemire, I love him. But if Kawhi does what he's supposed to do, Toronto's just—he's the best of all time there.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
I think you make an important distinction, Keith. Appreciate your call, and I didn't think of it this way. If he wins a championship, easily, he's the most loved, right? Easily, he's the most loved Raptor of all time. Now, the greatest Raptor of all time—that's where the debate is, right? Because statistically, I mean, again, he took maintenance days, so it's not like his stats are gonna blow you blow your doors off. If he wins a championship, easily the most loved, is he the greatest Raptor of all time? If he also wins a championship, what are you saying, Samter?
So here's a question for you. I'm just gonna throw this is word association.
Go ahead.
Sort of. Greatest Giant of all time.
LT.
Greatest Patriot of all time.
Tom Brady.
Greatest Steeler of all time.
Franco Harris. I'm biased. It's probably Terry Bradshaw.
Okay, so you go through team after team, mm-hmm. right? You associate the greatest with just the name that pops into your head.
Yeah.
Not the championship necessarily. Because, I mean, LT, I guess LT won his one. Did he win two? Was he on that second
team?
Yeah,
LT was on two. But also
But you remember him not because of the championships. You remember him because of his dominance,
mm-hmm.
right? And I know football's different than basketball. We can go do the same association in basketball as we did here. And when you think of a team, a player just inevitably will pop into your head. Green Bay Packers, go.
Brett Favre.
Boom. There's just names and faces that just stick into your mind for certain teams.
Yeah.
When we look back 10 years from now, 5 years from now, and we say Toronto Raptors, are we really thinking Kawhi Leonard for his 60 games and one championship that he was there? It was fleeting. He's that cute girl you saw at the bar that maybe you hooked up with that night, but she's not the guy you married, not the guy that you took home to mom,
yeah.
not the guy that you're going to remember forever and look back on 20, 30 years from now saying, that's the one that got away. No. Kawhi's the hot girl at the bar.
To answer your question, 855-212-4227. Hit me in a week and a half. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Are you taking good care of your vehicle? Well, show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs. Need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or directly to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly O'Rewards loyalty member and you'll earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. I see a bunch of you hanging on. our toll-free line to talk about the greatest Raptor ever. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Now, if industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil is working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. The Indians walked off last night in the 10th inning against the Reds 2-1, but the hero was probably the least likely in their lineup. Rookie outfielder Oscar Mercado. Mercado was playing in just his 22nd game of the season and had been 0-for-4 prior to this game and his game-winning RBI single in the extra innings. The RBI, the runs batted, was just Mercado's eighth in his young MLB career. The unexpected play is brought to you by ExxonMobil. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. D-Cell just dug up this nugget. It's an indictment on the value of human life, and it's sad, but it's the reality, especially in the Dominican Republic, where we saw a couple days ago David Ortiz, Big Papi, was shot. And a lot of people speculated that it was an assassination attempt by one of the drug lords down there. Jason Atui of the Boston Globe is reporting that roughly five people were offered $8,000 to carry out the hit on Big Papi. This comes, he's citing police or law enforcement sources down there in the Dominican Republic. I did a Sports Minute on this yesterday, and like I met Big Papi once. He was cool. He was a great guy. And I know people that have gone down with him to the Dominican Republic. He has a big charity event, golf tournament, hanging out, you know, partying, having fun, stuff. But he's raising money for his community every year. But I think sadness, because now David Ortiz is, he's got to be afraid to go home. If somebody's putting a hit out on him, how can you go back there? And he's given or had previously given so much. And I also think it's sad for the DR because they're losing potentially one of their greatest advocates. It's just a sad situation. I'm sure more information will come out over the next few days or so. But, you know, thankfully he's up and moving around, and he's going to be okay. But just that's just a terrible situation. Let's get back to the phones, talking about Kawhi Leonard. Is Kawhi Leonard, or will he be, the greatest Raptor of all time if he wins a championship for this Toronto Raptors squad? They are a game away ahead of tomorrow's Game 6 out at Oracle. Let's get Clue, who's out in Vegas. What's up, Clue?
Hey, how you doing, Tiki? Great. Honored to have a chance to speak with you. A big fan of yours for a long time.
I appreciate
you. I'm going to try and not go off the rails too much here.
all right, go ahead.
I'm from Vancouver, so the other side of opposite side of the country.
Yep.
I do have a little bit of sour grapes being the way that the league treated the Grizzlies franchise as well as the Sonics being from the Northwest. But
that's right.
Focusing on the Toronto Raptors, it's obvious. It's Vince Carter. Just from the time he was drafted and the impact that he had on the culture and, you know, little boys and girls for that matter, being able to see, feel, and touch a guy that had a lasting impact there as contrasted, with kind of just a rental. Now, we don't know, nobody knows if Kawhi is going to stay or not. But, I mean, I think just his lasting impact there, he matched to a lesser extent. But, you know, I was even telling, I'm not sure if you tell or the producer, I was talking to a great gentleman.
Yeah, Samter.
Okay, Samter, I beg your pardon. Even guys like, now, obviously, they're not the greatest ever, but guys like Jerome Williams, even Amir Johnson, are still in the community in Toronto. And I'm just kind of comparing and contrasting that with what used to be a rental with Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great call, Clue, and you bring up a great point. Because Toronto, I've been up there maybe twice to Toronto, and every time I go there, I'm so impressed by the city. Like it just feels like modern and cosmopolitan. I always talk about people. It feels clean because everything is like glass and the wind. It just feels like a place that you'd want to stay. And Clue brings up the point. A lot of these players who are not Canadian and they play there, they end up staying. So they had an impact on the team. Maybe they weren't winning championships, but they stayed and became a part of the Toronto community, which in some ways endears you to that community, right? You don't have to be native of somewhere to be a huge, rememberable part of that community. But the difference is winning a championship is like no other. Like it brings every piece of fandom and players together in this emotional, galvanizing moment. And if Kawhi does this for the Raptors, people aren't going to forget, right? Especially because he's so good. It's not like he was, you know, a sagging superstar. And he's still in his prime and he's rising. And I think a lot of it, though, as Clue mentioned, will come down to whether or not he decides to stay. Let's get Jay, who's out in Pennsylvania, or down in Pennsylvania. What's happening, Jay? Welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Hi, Tiki. It's an honor to speak to a future Hall of Famer.
I appreciate that. From your mouth to the voters' ears.
And look, I'm old school, Tiki. I've been following the NBA since the late 60s. As a matter of fact, I grew up with a huge sports in Berkeley with Larry McGrew, somebody that you probably are familiar with.
Who's that?
Larry McGrew.
Oh, okay.
As a longtime NBA follower, I think Kawhi Leonard is both the best player and the greatest player. Let me qualify that. If he wins this championship, he'll be both the best player and the greatest player ever to play for the Toronto Raptors.
Mm.
And furthermore, I think everyone is mistaken that he's going to leave.
Wow. Why do you think he's going to stay?
Well, it's economics. He's only 26. If he stays with the Raptors, he's eligible for the Supermax. That's like $240 million. He can, in 5 years from now, he can still go home to L.A. and get another max contract.
Yeah, you're right. So, sorry, Jay, we're losing you. You're cutting up a little bit there, but you're making a point about the incentive to stay at an organization as opposed to going someplace else because of the value of the contracts. But with Kawhi, I forget the value. I mean, maybe Sam, you can find this real quick. Kawhi signed a New Balance shoe deal, which is off the path from Nike and Adidas and Under Armour that everybody else is. I think there's a few others in New Balance, no other superstars, but New Balance is jumping in heavy. I know New Balance because I run in New Balance shoes for my marathons, and so I know that they're going hard into the basketball market. Kawhi is going to make a ton of money from his shoe contract, and so the money isn't an issue for Kawhi. It's more about, does he love being in Toronto, or does he want to go back home, which everybody's speculating about, in Southern California. I tend to agree with his sentiment, though, because especially in today's worlds, or sports worlds, that is, we value the championship. We talked to Dominique Wilkins earlier in our show, in our 3 o'clock hour, and in his era, you could be the best and greatest and not win a championship, and people would still respect that. In today's NBA in particular, it's all about winning a championship. It's why these guys jump around. It's why LeBron went to Miami and came back to Cleveland, and it's why KD left OKC and went to the Warriors. It's why Anthony Davis wants to bounce from New Orleans. It is what it is. Kawhi Leonard, I think, if he wins a championship at Toronto, isn't necessarily seeking that. Now, let's not forget, he also won one in San Antonio. So it's not his motivation. I think his motivation will be, where do I want to be most comfortable? Because he is quiet. He is not the, I need the spotlight player. If Toronto shows him the love and they win a championship, he might stay. But again, for Kawhi, it'd be a crapshoot. There's no way we could possibly discern what he's thinking right now because he never says anything. We have football at the 40s coming up on the other side of our break. Let's get an update from Richard Ackerman, and we'll jump back, maybe get some more calls as well. 855-212-4CBS. Rich Ackerman, can we get an update?
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Craig in Ohio. John Beilein is hiring former Cal Bears women's coach, head coach Lindsey Gottlieb, as an assistant coach, the first female to jump from college basketball to an assistant in the NBA. Is it too big of a jump to go from the women's college game right into the NBA? I'm going to say no. Lindsey Gottlieb, no relation to Doug Gottlieb, our former colleague, or his brother, who was also an assistant at Cal Berkeley, but she's been
She has an unbelievable background, deep history in coaching. She played overseas when she was in college, came back to Brown where she was a player coach. She also has a very close relationship, it seems, with Bob Myers of the Golden State Warriors and Steve Kerr. So she's been up there as a guest for the Warriors. So she knows the NBA game as well as having a lot of success consistently getting her college programs to the NCAA tournament. I'm going to say no, this isn't too big of a jump, and I think she's going to ultimately be successful as well. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can submit questions by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros or tweet us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer services at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now, Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. Samter, we have football at the 40. There's a few really good stories in here. One, which is just, I mean, it makes no sense why the Saints aren't doing right by one of their best players, but we'll get to it. Are you ready? Let's hit it.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, we've talked a lot about Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Both in the postseason last year, not getting the carries, talking about potential degenerative knee issues. Obviously, there's some issues going into camp this year. Gurley finally spoke while he didn't participate in on-field workouts. He did say he was feeling good. He's just working out, doing the typical stuff that he's always done. Do you think that Todd Gurley surpasses 1,000 yards this year? Do you think that he
gets to
be a bell cow?
I don't think they want him to do that. I think they have there's a value for when he's in the game because he's such a difference maker. But he's got to deal all season with random swelling of his knee, with pain. And pain you can manage. Swelling you can also manage. But sometimes it gets really hard to do so. And so as much as I hate to say it, and I want to see him be that guy, I want to see him be one of those players who can, you know, put up the 2,200 all-purpose yards. But it's just not smart for his career. And a lot of people would espouse, just wear him out. Use him up, and, you know, you get someone else. Running backs for a dime or a dozen. But you have an investment for at least two more years. So I think the Rams, as much as he's, they think he's going to be okay, need to be smart with Todd Gurley.
Now, of course, his offensive teammate and signal caller, Jared Goff, is getting close to the end of his rookie contract. We just saw Carson Wentz, who went number two in the draft, get that monster deal. Goff, who went number one, is also probably considering one. But he did say, it's not for me to worry about. It's for the team and my agent to work out. I keep doing what I've been doing on the field, and hopefully it will take care of itself.
Yeah, this is a hard situation, Samter.
So if you're the Rams, does he get as much, more, or less than Wentz?
I mean, if they're going to give him the deal, then he's got to get about the same, you know what I mean, or more, because this is how it works. I hate it, but that's how it works. Unless you sign it early, like Carson Wentz did, and don't push into your fifth year or past your fifth year because you have that fifth year option, which is basically like a franchise tag, and then you use the franchise tag as the base, the starting point. That's the only way you can cut cash out of this deal. I got to be honest. If I'm the Rams, I'm probably trying to do this earlier than later, because if you wait and he messes around and has an all-pro type season, you're really going to get clobbered over the head with his contract. And we know that the Rams are in the business of winning. We saw the moves that they made last offseason, and they're right in the same category now. They want to win now. I think they need to wrap him up sooner rather than later, because they could wait and really get burned by it on the back end. Or they could wait and he proved that he's not the guy and they move on from him. But we'll see.
Speaking of contracts, Melvin Gordon, another running back who is in the same draft class as Gurley, a few picks behind him. 26 years old, he's going to make $5.6 million in 2019. He's second only to Gurley with 38 total touchdowns since the start of 2016 season, although He leads the NFL with three straight years of at least 1,200 scrimmage yards and 10 touchdowns.
Yep.
But he's talking about a new contract, and he's saying, same thing as Goff, just going to let my guys take care of it. But this is a running back, not
a quarterback.
He
doesn't have a choice. Yeah, he doesn't have a choice.
He's 26 years old.
Agreed.
What kind of money does he
get? Look, there's a timeline here. And should he be making about $8 million a year? Yeah, absolutely. But how much incrementally more is that than what he's already making? And so it's not like he can – it's, you know, it's not like Le'Veon Bell, who was making 12 and wanted 16, right? This is Melvin Gordon, who has been durable. He's been, a reliable player for them. But what do we value running backs at? I think he should sign about a four or five-year deal, making about eight to ten a year, and that sounds about right for him because he's going to be so important. For this team, one, for the end of Philip Rivers' career, but then more importantly, for the transition for who comes next. You got to lock this kid up.
This is a very odd story because I'm sure you haven't seen much of this in your career. Michael Pierce, defensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens, had a really, really short mini camp. He showed up, he stretched, and then he was kicked out.
Wow.
Basically because he didn't do any conditioning in the offseason, showed up way heavier, apparently, than his 340-pound playing weight of last year.
He looks it, too.
And John Harbaugh actually kicked him out, saying that he was no shape to even stretch, to even perform any of the conditioning drills. There's pictures of him running back and forth and doing some of the stretching drills, and the guy looks like he's going to keel over.
Yeah.
They kicked him out. Last year, Pro Football Focus ranked him as the fifth best interior lineman and the number one defensive player on the entire Ravens roster, which we know was a top five defense in the NFL last year. So how much stock do you put into a guy not being into shape at this point in the year?
Well,
or do you give him a chance to get back ready for training camp in the season?
Well, look, he knows he better get back. I think it's the only incentive that John – or that the only method of motivation that John Harbaugh had – was to kick him out and say it's unacceptable, right? You got to force him to get off his couch and work out and be accountable to himself. Not that maybe it was dangerous. You've been sitting around eating, I don't know, Funyuns and Twinkies for the last 4 months and you put on 30 extra pounds. It's kind of dangerous to be out running around on a field, but still, I think John Harbaugh did exactly what he's supposed to do, make an example out of him, snap his pride a little bit, and smack back at him, and hopefully he uses it as incentive. Now, I mean, he kicked him out of minicamp. I'm sure they're not completely just saying, we don't want to talk to you anymore. But come on, kid, get in shape. I know you got an opportunity to make a name for yourself. You got to be impressive all the time, not just some of the time.
I hate you right now.
Why? What did I do?
I'm trying to go about a month and a half without having sugar.
Yes.
So like coffee, no sugar.
Oh, so when I
no
talk
desserts.
About Twinkies and Funyuns?
I forget about the Funyuns, man. I want a Twinkie. You have more than you can possibly imagine. It's been like 5 or 6 years, maybe more, since I've had a Twinkie.
What movie? I was watching some movie. It was this
Zombieland?
No, but it was like this dystopian thing. And like
with Harrison Ford.
It's
Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Zombieland. Great movie.
And the guy.
Yeah, with Emma Stone. And he's like obsessed with Twinkies.
He pulls out a Twinkie.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, these things never, they never
They're
go
coming
off.
Out with a Zombieland 2, and I can't wait because the first one was great.
That's funny.
Really underrated, fun zombie movie. Anyway. Shifting from Twinkies and Zombieland and fun movies, we go to a sadder, more disturbing story. Alden Smith, who was on track to becoming one of the best defensive players in the NFL, maybe based on how he started, one of the best defensive players ever, if he really continued what he was doing, was once again arrested on suspicion of DUI.
He's got a problem, man.
Multiple DUIs over his career. Was pulled over around midnight on Monday after a routine traffic stop. He's been jailed for domestic violence. He had a plea agreement for another domestic violence, sentenced to 3 years probation as part of the agreement. He's been out of the NFL for a long time. He's tried to make a few comebacks. But what lessons can other young players learn from Alden Smith?
I mean, none. You avoid his example. Alden Smith had the chance to be elite. He's big. He was athletic. He only ended up getting 5 years in the league because he couldn't stop. It's not like he was, you know, smoking weed like like some of these other guys and getting these suspensions. This was he was doing dangerous things. I remember the one time, because BT and I talked about this, where he was found behind the wheel of his car. His foot was still on the accelerator, and he was into a pole. Now, he's got a serious alcohol issue, and it's a problem. He needs to go to rehab, and or he needs to be put in jail so he can really, for an extended time, not just one of these short stays that he's been on before, but really put away, because he's going to end up killing somebody, if not himself.
And then there were two. Chicago Bears have been going through a very odd kicker situation after last year's blown kicks that cost them some play in the some playoff run. They've had their Augustus silence where nobody's talking and it's kind of disturbingly quiet while the kickers get to kick. Well, the first kicker, Chris Blewett, he blew it.
No,
he
he's done.
Man, I'm good.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? He was the first of the three kickers who was cut. Eddie Pinheiro, Elliot Fry still remaining. But it looks like Blewett is gone. I mean, Eddie Pinheiro, Elliot Fry, they obviously made the trade for Pinheiro over the offseason. I mean, are either of those guys the answer for the
Bears? Here's what's going to happen. Somebody on somebody else's team is going to get cut after training camp. And that's who's going to be the Chicago Bears kicker. Right, this shouldn't be this hard for a kicker. You see this all the time. But if this is I guess they're trying to find the right guy right now. It's hard to find the right guy right now because there's not real pressure. But it seems like the Chicago Bears starting kicker for the beginning of the season will be somebody on somebody else's squad.
Now, we were talking about this very briefly earlier on about the Saints and potential signings and dealings. They gave Cam Jordan a big deal, and Sean Payton was asked about what's next. He talks about Michael Thomas, the all-pro wide receiver who just doesn't seem to get any love. If you look at his numbers over the course of his career, he's on record-setting paces. Sean Payton says he's been very consistent. He'll be the next one, I am sure, to get an extension. Mickey will be working. I know that probably have already begun discussions. How on earth is this guy getting overlooked? Not just financially, but just the people who talk about football just do not talk enough about Michael Thomas.
No, you're right. Look, he's only 3 years in, Michael Thomas. He's a stud. He was an all-pro last year. He made the Pro Bowl for the past 2 years. He is the best receiver in New Orleans, yet he's making less than Ted Ginn Jr. He's making less than Cam Meredith. In fact, he's making less than the Michael Thomas, who's the safety for the New York Giants that nobody knows that shares his name. $1.1 million he's making, Michael Thomas, and he is grossly underpaid. The problem is that when you look at a guy who was drafted in the second round, 47th, he's outplaying his contract, and from an economic standpoint, the Saints, they have to be smart. I forget what their cap situation is. Yeah, they're already over, or they're just under the cap right now, and they haven't signed their draftees yet. Right, so it's tight. That's just what it is. Some of that will be alleviated when Drew Brees' contract comes off, but they got to match. You know, when Drew leaves versus when Michael Thomas can sign. It's hard. It's a hard job for Mickey Loomis, who you just mentioned, but he is grossly underpaid because he's amazing, Michael Thomas.
Last one, Andrew Luck suffered multiple shoulder problems, keeping him out for multiple games, years. Now he's suffering from a minor calf strain, but he's sitting out some of these mini-camp action, mandatory and voluntary, because of the strain. He said, things can be stubborn at times. I certainly don't feel as young as I once did, but I'm certainly also being conservative with this.
What is Andrew Luck? How old is he? 28?
Somewhere around there. It's one of the lessons I learned from my shoulder. A lot less anxiety in my life than before. So, is he being overly cautious, or after what he went through with his shoulder, is this smart?
No, I think it's smart. You know, the thing you worry about is you get new folks, new faces, and you don't get this critical time to work with them. We all know how the off seasons are truncated now. So it's really just relationship building. But Andrew Luck is a franchise maker. And the season that he had last year, he needs to replicate and grow from that. So I'm okay with him being safe at this point.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
He's 29, DeSalle just told me. So eight years this has been, but he missed a year and a half or so. I mean, he's got enough experience that you're not really worried about him missing minicamp, but you hope that this thing gets healthy quick. Eddie George was going to join us tomorrow, as is Tony Delk, NBA TV analyst, to talk about Game 6 of the NBA Finals. But Eddie George's number is getting retired down in Tennessee. So he'll hop on with us tomorrow. He and Steve McNair, who obviously passed away a few years ago. We'll talk to Eddie about Tennessee Titans, his relationship with Steve McNair, obviously where the state of the Titans are. But obviously, congratulations, Eddie George. That's a huge honor. One of the great players in Tennessee Titans history, really NBA history, or in NFL history. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you soon. Deacon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.